the sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. And Wes, we do have some second wave of games now, some scoring going on. Every time I look up, I see the fighting Harbaughs punching people around, very physical offense, and they went right down the field against Rutgers. They're on the board 7-0. Again, they were laying 20.5. I felt like the number felt too big, but they're starting to make me believers week in, week out as Michigan holds on to that lead. Clemson also on the board 7-0 against NC State, finally trying to get that offense untracked.
And back to that Michigan game, by the way. 15 of the 17 offensive plays from scrimmage for Michigan, of course, on the ground. 15 for 64 yards. So right now, updating that live line, if I can get it at BetMGM, and I don't have it up right now, but 7-0 the score, 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Scarlet Knights off to a poor start, really, defending Michigan, but they do have the ball.
Of course, next hour, we just want to give you a little programming update. We're going to have Matt Hayes joining us. Talk a little Heisman with him as well. The odds changing as the games now go final. And Scott Seidenberg is going to join us in studio as well next hour. But the big story so far from the early action in college football is Notre Dame. And in the span of us taking a little bit of a break and coming back, they scored two touchdowns. If you had the under today, you're thinking, how in the world did this not cash 10-3 at halftime?
Right.
And it's 41-13 as the final. I mean, Graham Mertz is just, you get a pick six, you get a pick six. And all of a sudden, boy, that doesn't cash. But Notre Dame plus 6.5, and certainly in the money line, that cashed easily.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish had 242 yards of total offense today and only 17 first downs. And they scored 41 points. By the way, Notre Dame also had 11 penalties for 93 yards.
It was not a clean game.
Yeah, but Wisconsin, five turnovers, four interceptions from Graham Mertz. And Notre Dame only had 10 points going into the final 15 minutes. They had 31 in the fourth quarter. That Tyree 96-yard kickoff return. They did have a touchdown and a field goal on offense. Two pick sixes in the final couple minutes, if you had the under, and the under got the money here, but the under's not going to get the money in terms of paying out tickets, because 41-13 game goes over the total. This was all under money, and I think it was the right handicap, but right handicap, wrong result. And by the way, Brian Kelly with this win, now the all-time winningest head coach in Notre Dame history, and they're going to get Cincinnati coming into South Bend to Notre Dame Stadium next week.
Winningest is only a word we use in sports, right? Because I know English teachers are going, what? But that's exactly right. To that point about Cincinnati and Notre Dame next week. So now I think you just gave the people a really good look ahead quickly as to the way, the manner in which Notre Dame throttled Wisconsin today.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it between the numbers, they really didn't do a whole lot offensively. Jack Cohn got hurt in this game. We'll find out about his availability next week against Cincinnati. Again, this game is in South Bend. And we just did a hypothetical. We'll see how this works out here in Las Vegas. But maybe about a 5-point favorite is what we're guesstimating Notre Dame to be here. And again, this summer, they were only about a 2-point favorite. Mm-hmm. But now, before today's game, Notre Dame was around a 60-1 long shot to win the national championship. After beating Wisconsin today, and you look at that schedule going forward, they're 40-1, okay, as we sit right now. So you might say, well, the value's gone. But when I look at the schedule, I go, Cincinnati's the last stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
In an undefeated Notre Dame, Toledo game is gone. They should have lost that. They didn't lose that, right? Potentially could have lost to Florida State. Florida State's losing again to Louisville right now. 10-0 Louisville in the first quarter. So how good are these wins for Notre Dame? It doesn't matter. If they go undefeated and they're Notre Dame and TV networks are out there going, they're going to get into the college football playoff. And if so, I ask you, sir, is 40-1 still a value play, or is that value gone?
Well, I think at 40-1, still there's some value there. And, you know, throw a lottery ticket on it, basically. Because, look, I do think if they run the table and if we can get that schedule back up, we talk about Cincinnati is their next opponent. Of course, Cincinnati right there in the top 10. Look, and if they win this game, all of a sudden, now they still have to run the table there in the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah.
So Cincinnati still going to need some help, but all of a sudden a little bit closer than you would think. Certainly last year, everybody was talking about, why didn't Cincinnati get any consideration? Well, really, because they don't beat anybody because of that COVID schedule.
That's
they
right.
didn't really have a lot of premier teams in the non-conference. So you see that schedule. Cincinnati now going down to Blacksburg.
That won't be
that's
easy.
That's going to probably be a night game.
That's right.
Down there, and Enter Sandman's going to be blasting. So not an easy one. You get USC at home, you're going to be favored. But USC, maybe we'll see how Keaton Slovis rebounds tonight, going back in the lineup against Oregon State. North Carolina still has a high, still has Sam Howell, who can chuck that ball up and down the field. So Notre Dame, you look at them, even though they're not like a lot of top five teams on that schedule, there's still quality wins on that schedule, perhaps. Cincinnati, at Virginia Tech, USC, North Carolina.
At Stanford.
Navy's obviously way down this year. Virginia has kind of been on the struggle bus the last couple of weeks, been blown out in two straight ACC games. Georgia Tech, no problem there. They've already lost to Northern Illinois, but we'll see how good Stanford is. Is Stanford all of a sudden, because Stanford's been down the last couple of years, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, has the bloom come off the rose for David Shaw? And now they got a chance this afternoon here. We talked with Yogi Roth, who's going to be calling that game. They've got a chance maybe to get right here and pull an underdog win. So there are a lot of quality games on this Notre Dame schedule, especially when you compare it to some others that are kind of in that top 10, like a Clemson, I would speak of, like maybe even an Oregon, because we're going to see how this Pac-12, the Pac-12 does, and if they're going to get penalized because the Pac-12 is seen as down because everybody's already lost, not necessarily in conference. So,
well, great point. When we talked to Yogi about this, and you and I made the point live right here on VSiN as it was happening, when Oregon went to the Shoe and beat Ohio State. And then the conversation was going to be, well, they play in the Pac-12. Even if they run the table, the schedule isn't good enough for that signature win to get you into the college football playoff. But their resume against Notre Dame's. The thing that I cannot get away from, this is why 40-1, if you want to back Notre Dame for the national championship, to at least have the opportunity in the college football playoff. You got to talk about, do they get opportunity? An undefeated Notre Dame school, I just can't imagine they're left out. But would they do that at the expense of an Oregon?
Right.
Which is arguably going to be the best win you're going to see all year, going to Ohio State when C.J. Stroud was healthy week two, right? And they go there and kind of whip them around a little bit, pretty good, slap them around. That's a signature win. That's as good a win as Notre Dame's going to have.
And the other problem, too, is because you only have four spots in this college football playoff, two of them might go to the same conference, because let's say Georgia gets Florida here in the cocktail party at the end of October. Georgia doesn't really have, they have a much easier schedule than Alabama. Alabama's still got to play Texas A&M. Alabama's still got to play Ole Miss. You still got to play the Iron Bowl. Anything can happen in a rivalry game. Georgia, if they get through Florida, it looks smooth sailing to me, because nobody in the East is going to beat them. None of those teams, Kentucky, they've already beaten South Carolina, Tennessee. So Georgia and Alabama, you could very well have two undefeated teams going to Atlanta for that SEC title game. And if it's a competitive game and nobody gets whitewashed one way or the other, then you're going to see maybe Georgia and Alabama in that playoff, only two spots left and a lot more teams to perhaps claim them. Notre Dame, perhaps a Cincinnati if they beat Notre Dame, Oregon, whoever wins the ACC, which Clemson would still be the favorite, Ohio State, Penn State. So a lot of teams out there that could certainly claim spots.
And I know people are going to say, well, this is why you got to expand the college football playoff. I'm not one of those guys. The heart is what makes it good to get in there. I think four is still the right number. But again, these are potential pitfalls. To the point about Cincinnati now, they are 80-1 right now to win the college, win the national championship. And again, the opportunity to get to the college football playoff, well, that begins next week with that same game against Notre Dame.
Yes.
So again, you're really, if you're a Cincinnati backer, you're loving the fact that ND whipped up on Wisconsin, even the score was a lot closer than the score indicated here. So now you got to look at it from Cincinnati's point of view and go, okay, if we can go and beat Notre Dame in their house, right, with touchdown Jesus overlooking, and we go there and get that win, is Cincinnati's strength of schedule the rest of the way potentially good enough to get them a dance
ticket?
Well,
and I think a win at Notre Dame, that might kind of overlap what Indiana is going to be. Maybe Indiana is going to be a 6-6 team. There was thought, okay, maybe they can win eight games. So that win, even though it's a really good win, and the committee, if they know what they're talking about, will still consider it and won't be like, well, Indiana was 6-6. That's not really a good win.
But look at the rest of the schedule.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a cakewalk for Cincinnati the rest of the way.
Yeah, they do get UCF, and I believe, I'm not sure if they get Houston on that schedule, because they have taken out the divisions in that American Athletic Conference, because there used to be like a West Division and an East Division, but there are some weak sisters on that schedule. Unfortunately, our men at the Naval Academy not having a very good season in Annapolis, Temple, East Carolina. So, yeah, that's why this is the season for Cincinnati next week in South Bend.
Okay, so at 80-1 is their value because we love their schedule. And again, that means next week potentially could be their play-in game. That's the way they get to the college football playoff, is by beating Notre Dame and doing that on the road next week. Because I just don't see them losing any football games potentially past that. I'm sure the committee, they'll never admit this, they're rooting for Notre Dame so that this discussion doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Going forward. But this is a very real probability. Mm-hmm. And again, 80-1 right now, Notre Dame 40-1 to win the national championship.
And still a couple of elixirs, not only for Cincinnati even running the table here. What if Oklahoma runs the table? That's kind of the team we just forgot about.
I know. And see, this is where it gets dicey, because to your point that the SEC, if they get two in, what do you do with potentially undefeated
Cincinnati? Some major conference is going to get left out.
Could you imagine if Oregon runs the table in the Pac-12 and they won at Ohio State?
Yeah.
And they're going to take potentially undefeated Notre Dame over them, and they take two in the SEC? I mean, there will be bedlam. It'll be and Oklahoma's undefeated. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. If you have undefeated schools from power conferences and an undefeated potential independent in Notre Dame, what do you do, committee? And before you make these bets to figure out your long odds, you got to figure out a pathway to get to the college football playoff. That's why it's so important to look at the schedule and figure out, is it good enough that the committee is going to award them?
Yeah, we shall see. And I mean, we're going to start to get the committee putting out those rankings here in the next month or so.
I love it. I get a little bit fired up over this because I want every school that goes undefeated, they should get in, but there's only four spots. When you come back with us, he was the favorite before the season, but now he's at 25-1. We'll tell you who we're talking about. Come out with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm back here, Betting Across America, here with Wes Reynolds. I am Dave Ross. Going to go back out to Ben Falk, doing great work over at Mandalay Bay. And Ben, when we spoke to you earlier, I know there was a huge wager you saw that came in on Wyoming against UConn. The sweat has to be real early, doesn't it, Ben?
Well, guys, when we talk about these big bets, you know, it's all fun and games when it's Georgia minus 22 in the first half and they're up 38-0, you know, winning in the 60s. It's nice and easy. You're sitting back, enjoying a few beverages. Not so much when you have $100,000+ on Wyoming minus 31. Again, not looking so great there against UConn. You know, who knows what it is? Maybe it's that East Coast weather. Who knows what it is? Wyoming used to playing at altitude, but not going so well, certainly for one better there. Definitely a sweat. You got to you want to have the lead, I think, at halftime there if you're covering 31.
Yeah, and they're down 10-0 early. And Wes, you had the adjusted line there, now 13.5.
Yeah, that's what it was here at the end of the first quarter. But yeah, now you got to score 41 to get a push here.
Oh,
and
boy.
That's a big chore when you've only got three quarters to do it.
Yeah, let's talk about some other action, Ben, that you're seeing come in here. And we're keeping an eye on Texas A&M against Arkansas down there in Jerry World. What are you seeing in the action? How's it looking on that game?
Yeah, another interesting one, right? Usually when you have a public dog, you probably want to have maybe take a second before betting that if everyone is on. We saw that with Notre Dame, +6.5. Obviously, that comes home, Notre Dame winning outright. And another one certainly that we've seen is Arkansas. This line came down as Texas A&M about -5, -5.5, down to -4 or -4. 3.5 in some places, and we've seen a ton of money on Arkansas. This is the second most bet game at BetMGM Sportsbooks. The number one most bet ticket, Notre Dame +6.5. So two public dogs, certainly a lot of money right now on Arkansas riding that. Again, Texas A&M backup quarterback, that's part of it. Also Arkansas playing well, but a ton of money on Arkansas to cover the spread today at BetMGM.
And right now, 3-0, the Hogs with the lead. I'm one of those public guys, Ben. I did back the Hogs today in Jerry World. Let's see if it holds up, but so far, so good.
Yeah, just 3 minutes left to go in the first quarter, Hogs. And we thought that this would be a low-scoring game. Total was 47. Pretty much was around there all week. Texas A&M, one of the better defenses in the country, but so far, Hogs up.
Ben, I didn't think we'd see a lot of action in the UNC game today, but am I wrong? Are you seeing a lot of money come in there?
Well, a lot of money from one specific bettor, $110,000 on UNC minus 14.5. Again, that's kicking off a little bit later at Georgia Tech, but you never know, again, what game you're going to have the big bet on. Excuse me, I should correct that. Minus 14, not 14.5 on North Carolina. But again, a large wager on UNC. We'll see what happens. Probably not going to be one of the bigger bet games of the day, but certainly one better taking a shot on UNC.
Big shot there, Ben. Thanks. Great work as always out there at Mandalay Bay. We'll check back with you in just a little bit. But the roar you just heard, Ben, while you were giving that update on the bet for UNC, is the Hogs. We just spoke about it there in Jerry World. Get a big long touchdown.
The yeah, talk
up.
About they run the ball a lot, but about 81 yards here on this touchdown. So now Aggies in a little bit of a hole, in some trouble. We know that they haven't looked great really here in the first 3 weeks, but have gotten wins. Defense has been good enough. Now you're getting a real team here. So Jimbo and his guys in a little bit of trouble, at least early on. 10-0 here at the near the end of the first quarter.
And if I cash that ticket, I'm going to credit you because you were on the Hogs a couple weeks ago. Really opened up my eyes that win against Texas. And I think Texas is a pretty good football team. A&M and that with that backup quarterback. I like the Hogs catching those
points today.
And all of
a sudden, that win looks really good,
doesn't
considering
it?
Texas hung 70 on Texas Tech today.
Absolutely. So that's, again, it's when you get them, the number you get. But right now, Arkansas looking pretty good. 9-0, PAT pending. As we were going to break there in the last segment, if you noticed, we were talking about the Heisman odds. And we mentioned one guy that was at 25-1. And it's interesting with that big bet that Ben Falks just told us about on UNC. And that quarterback is Sam Howell. And I want to discuss him a little bit today. So if that guy is wagering, you know, six digits on UNC, he's basically wagering on Sam Howell to show up today and be the Heisman contender we thought he would be. So far, not great numbers. 9 touchdowns, 4 picks, QBR of just over 80. What do you make of Sam Howell in the Heisman race? Any value there at 25-1
Virginia Tech? If he puts up really good numbers, it'll come down a little bit, but I don't think really substantially because I think the first impression, sometimes you only get one chance to make a first impression. That first impression was not very good. 17 of 32, 208, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. I know he threw for 5 last week against UVA. He's going to have those big number games, but man, I think his chance really got sunk in that first game, and that's going to be hard to eliminate that perception because the ACC seemingly looks like it's down.
Mm-hmm.
We see Clemson's a little bit down, and Clemson would be North Carolina's most likely opponent, you would think, in an ACC title game there in Charlotte. But how impressive is that going to be? And that's your concern right now, kind of the ACC. You know, I saw somebody make a comment, Wake Forest may win the ACC or win the Atlantic Division. They're 2-0 right now and 4-0 overall. And you see a couple of these other teams. Boston College got a win today. These are teams that were kind of like middle of the pack teams.
Yeah.
So maybe the wheel of destiny in the ACC is going to kind of shake its way out. And Clemson's certainly still the favorite in the Atlantic. But you look in that coastal, pretty wide open. Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Miami's off to a sluggish start. Virginia off to a sluggish start. So you would think that would be open. And by the way, Clemson is tied right now.
Unbelievable.
7-7 here. They got the first touchdown. NC State does respond. So Tigers got some business to take care of here.
Yeah, I want to keep an eye on that again. Clemson preflop was 10.5 today, closing here at BetMGM. Back to the Heisman conversation for a second. We talked a lot about Cincinnati, and again, 80-1 to win the national championship. But when you look at Desmond Ridder here for the Bearcats here, right now he's at 20-1. Potentially to win this award, 22-1 right now at BetMGM. Again, showcase game next week, right? What do you make of that value? And again, the reason why we bring this up is you and I don't believe Matt Corral at plus 210 is the right play.
Right.
Even though Lane Kiffin's going to give him plenty of opportunities. C.J. Stroud is hurt right now. He's not going to play today. Bryce Young, of course, with Alabama. It just feels like this is it's going to switch so many times that if you get the right number now, is Ridder potentially a play here at 22-1?
Probably not for me. And we saw him like 50 or 60-1 earlier in the year. So obviously as they keep winning, that keeps drifting. But look, number one, if they lose next week to Notre Dame, donezo.
Doubt.
No chance because they're not going to the playoff. Maybe they get that group of five bid into like a New Year's Six Bowl like they did in the Peach Bowl against Georgia last year. But Then all of a sudden, the bloom's kind of off the rose for Cincinnati if they lose next week in Notre Dame. So that's going to be the decider. But you look at that schedule, man, there's a lot of teams. Temple, Navy, South Florida, East Carolina. Now SMU, maybe now that they're still undefeated.
Right? Nice win.
They could potentially, and of course they got that Hail Mary win over Louisiana Tech and kept it going this week, win the Iron Skillet in Fort Worth against TCU. So maybe SMU, because it's like, who's going to be that challenger?
Right.
Who's going to be that number two team in the American that's going to be a quality team that's going to get a bunch of wins? Is it SMU? Is it Houston? I think people thought it could be UCF or Memphis or somebody like that. So who's going to be that team that's going to get ranked in the top 25 to give Cincinnati another quality win? So for Ritter, not for me, especially, you look, if they lose in South Bend last week, they're not making the college football playoff. And I think the only way he can win it is if they're in the college football playoff.
Very quickly, just going to keep you updated on what's going on here. Maybe the shocker, again, Utah has been a thorn in my side here as a better in the first couple weeks. They're losing right now at home to Washington State. And that new line here, if you're a Utah guy, and I don't know why you would be, minus a point and a half, as they're down 13-7 early there. And again, we're seeing some surprises. You mentioned NC State right now, tied up second quarter against Clemson at 7. Michigan just rolling 14-3 right now over Rutgers. Any surprises so far in the second wave of games you've seen?
Yeah, a little bit, Utah. You thought maybe this could be a get-right spot. I don't want to say Baylor's a surprise because, look, Baylor got some support here.
They did.
Even though they hadn't really played anybody, they're out 14-7 on Iowa State. So maybe Dave Aranda is getting that turned around there in Waco. So not really a surprise. Obviously, when a 31-point favorite is losing outright, that's a surprise. UConn, of course, beating Wyoming 10-0. You know, my disappointment would be Florida State, who's down 17-0 early in the second quarter. They are in Louisville territory, however, so maybe Florida State can at least get on the board, not get totally boat raced. But Mike Norvell having trouble keeping this on the tracks down there in Tallahassee.
It's not looking good. Iowa, by the way, on the board right now. They get an early touchdown. They were laying a significant number today. We'll see if they can keep that going. And again, Arkansas 10-0 over Texas A&M. A&M did slip. Obviously, the backup quarterback down to 7 in the polls this week. But again, Jimbo Fisher, where's the offense going to come from against Arkansas here? I know some people are going to think about potentially coming back in this ball game, but Wes, I don't think I could back them right now financially.
Yeah, this would be awful hard to do. You got to have that backup quarterback now, the starter, Calzada, really get going here down the stretch.
All right, we have much more to get to here, Betting Across America. At the top of the hour, Matt Hayes will join us. We talked about those Heisman odds. We'll kind of get his thoughts on who he think might still have some value right now as you try to place a wager on who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. So sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds here. Betting Across America, games getting hot and heavy. Clemson's still tied up with NC State today. And right now, Arkansas, maybe the feature game going on right now, 10-0 over Texas A&M. Anything really stand out to you before we look at it, some other games?
Let me get a couple live line updates. Arkansas now -3.5 through 15 minutes down there in Jerry World. 44.5 the total, so a little bit under what it closed basically at the opening kickoff at 47. Florida State is on the board, so now 17-7 Louisville, -9.5 on the Cardinal side, 63.5 the total. And then we have early second quarter Clemson and NC State all tied at 7.
I know a lot of people that are a backer of Tennessee football, and they have not been very happy in recent years. Today they're in the swamp taking on Florida. That game getting ready to kick at 4 p.m. here. Florida laying 19 is the number we have here at BetMGM, total of 65. What do you make of Tennessee football? I don't want to say it's Kansas football, but in the SEC, it feels like if you're back in Tennessee with your hard-earned dollars, it normally doesn't pay off for you.
Yeah, and I do have my hard-earned dollars on Tennessee today. First half, I split it up, first half and game.
Okay.
I think it's a tough spot for Florida because they came all the way back. Remember, they were going to get run out in the swamp by Alabama. It was 21-3 at the end of the first quarter. And it was all Florida for the most part for the rest of the game. Had a two-point conversion chance to go ahead and tie that game. It was no good. Alabama escapes with the win. So now Florida gets a Tennessee team that first-year head coach Josh Heupel. So they're trying to kind of rebuild and get back to where they should be because, look, this rivalry is indicator that Tennessee is not where they should be. By the way, Florida's won 15 of the last 16. Lone loss coming in 2016. Florida opened actually at 22, I believe, at Circa Sports, and then some Tennessee support came in. I took 20.5 for a game, also took 11 for the first half. It is going to be Hendon Hooker going. And we saw the early buy on Tennessee and then kind of a little buyback on Florida because Joe Milton got upgraded to probable, the Michigan transfer, and he was the starter in the first couple games, but still working his way back from injury. So I think Hooker right now is the better quarterback. So I think the Vols are at least starting the better guy. Hooker, of course, transferred in from Virginia Tech. And oh, by the way, quarterback news for Florida, Anthony Richardson, who missed with a hamstring. Richardson has been the freshman that they've kind of come in for the or put in for the big pop plays, the big passing plays down the field. I thought Emory Jones actually had his best game as a Florida Gator last week. He did have one interception, but 195 yards passing, 77 rushing. So maybe that gets a little bit of the Boo Birds off his back a little bit. But I think this is a little bit of a shaky spot for Florida. And plus, when you play like one of these top teams, it's usually not a bad idea to go against them the next week, because when you play like an Alabama and you've seen over the years Clemson, these really elite teams, you take a physical toll.
Yes.
You take a physical pounding, and that just doesn't go away after a few days. That carries over a lot of aches and pains, a lot of guys maybe not 100% that aren't on the injury report, and I think you could maybe see that for Florida here. So I'm on Tennessee. Look, this could go wrong absolutely quickly based on what we've seen out of the Tennessee Volunteers over the last several years. But I think this is a decent spot for them. I think at least the motivation, certainly you would think, has got to be there. And then Florida, when you take that first loss, sometimes that hangs over at least a little bit for a first half. So I like the first half better than the full game. I could see this being close to 30 minutes, then Florida kind of pulling away as Tennessee runs out of talent.
I think it's a great point to be made, because when you look back to, say, Florida State against Notre Dame in week one, right, and Florida State loses in overtime, it feels like a win. And then what happens the next week to them? They have a terrible loss, one of the worst losses in franchise history, in school history. Same thing for Florida. They lost last week to Tennessee, but it kind of felt like a win, right? They come all the way back. They easily cover the number. They only lose two to Alabama, by two to Alabama, and all of a sudden you feel really good about yourself, and then you're weighing 19. I'm with you on that. I normally wouldn't back Tennessee, but it does feel like a similar scenario, and certainly early in the first half, I think you have a smart play there. Very quickly, Arkansas, 17 Zippo on a top 10 school in Jerry World right now against Texas A&M. Just for bettors out there, if they find themselves on the wrong side, and again, if you were backing A&M, you were laying four, okay? You're down 3-0, the adjusted line, maybe you hopped in there. Well, then it gets to 10-0. What do you hop in there? Is there any point that if you're an A&M backer, and now you 11.5 the Hogs are laying, what do you do? Do you just stay away and say, you know what? I had the wrong read on this game, and I'm not going to keep throwing away my money waiting for this A&M comeback that hasn't come yet.
Yeah, move on. Don't throw good money after bad, because right now it is 11.5, as you pointed out, Arkansas lane, 51.5 on the total. When you saw Texas A&M, and I do think their defense is good, but this is a step up in class, and Arkansas has absolutely proven it. 239 yards of total offense for Arkansas
against
already.
Jimbo.
And by the way, 183 through the air, and Arkansas more of a running team we've seen so far. And they've only run it 7 times for 56 yards, so that's 8 yards a carry. This Aggie defense is getting kind of a welcome to the real world and welcome to reality here. And I don't think A&M, they just don't look like they have the firepower. Like, they're good with the lead, but I don't know how they are coming from behind. We're about to find out, but not with my money. I'm not convinced. I don't think A&M is going to get totally blown out here, but gosh, I don't want to pay to find out.
All I'll say is, if Arkansas can hold on to this one, long way to go in Jerry World. Mm-hmm. We understand that. And the way they really physically manhandled Texas.
Yeah.
And we saw what Texas did today. all of a sudden you have to start looking at the Hogs and the SEC and start thinking, well, this football team's really good.
Well, and all these other teams are going to have to be on alert because, oh, by the way, Arkansas goes between the hedges down to Athens, Georgia to play the Bulldogs. Then they go to Ole Miss, and then they get Auburn coming in. So that's the next 3 weeks for Arkansas. But all of a sudden, Georgia and Ole Miss and Auburn, they got to take notice of this team because this team looks absolutely for real. Only the second year of Sam Pittman because they showed some spark last year. They would cover some numbers, but they just weren't competitive with the elite teams. But now all of a sudden, you know, second year, and oftentimes what do we say? That first year to second year is when you see the most improvement. Sometimes it's the second to third. But we're seeing it already in Fayetteville.
When you wonder why the SEC always gets the pass potentially for two schools in the college football playoff out of four, it's that reason. It's that schedule.
Because those third, fourth, and fifth sixth teams are really good.
Let's talk about Alabama a little bit today. When you look at Bama, obviously we expect them to win. You're always laying a big number if you're going to back the Crimson Tide. How, as a rule of thumb, do you bet Alabama football? Because I know some people... Or my buddy Tim Doyle would say, you bet Alabama or you don't bet at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're weighing 45 against the Golden Eagles of Southern Miss today.
Yeah, and if usually what I end up doing with Alabama is like second half unders and then hope they don't get like a pick six.
Right.
Because usually they're going to maybe run the ball and their defense is going to be very good. And this Southern Miss team, oh, by the way, they were down to like their fourth quarterback last week against Troy. So they've had a lot of injuries. Obviously, this is a total dead spot for the Crimson Tide because it's Southern Miss coming in. And, you know, how early do they take out the starters? You're always worried about that if you're laying a big number. You've got the Lane train, Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral, now the Heisman favorite, coming in next week. So, you know, this is probably a don't bet at all if you don't. Because I don't know if I want to lay this with Alabama because I'm just thinking, okay, are they going to let up here? But Nick Saban did say in the postgame presser, hey, we need a 60-minute effort because that first 15 minutes, it was like, okay, they're going to run Florida out, and then Florida outplayed him. So maybe Nick Saban, I don't know if it's necessarily running it up here. He might not be able to help it against this Southern Miss bunch with the new head coach there in Healy. But or Will Hall, rather, is the new head coach there in Southern Miss. But I wouldn't want to lay it because you worry Alabama, okay, they're going to put their third and fourth team guys in. And it's like, we don't want that injury report a mile long. We got Ole Miss coming in, and that's going to be an absolute shootout.
And that's why it kind of feels like, to your point, when you look at the total and you say, well, how are they going to get to 59, 58? How are they going to get there? Well, if Bama's going to score 45 in a line that's 58.5, can Southern Miss score two times? Can they get 14? And I'm kind of with you. It feels like an underplay, certainly maybe the second half, if they've taken the wind out of the sails in a dominating first half.
Yeah, that's probably the way I'm going to approach it here, is seeing if it's, what is it, 57.5, 58 right now. Yep. So let's say there's 45 points in the first half. You might get an over under a 21 maybe or 24. I'd be looking at the second half under and hope to God that there's not a block punt. Or pick six.
Well, we saw that
like
in the Notre
that.
Dame game. Yes. It was a dead under, and then all of a sudden you get a kick six for one, and then two pick sixes to get that 31 points in the fourth quarter. That's the way it can spiral when games get out of control. And we just saw that example with Notre Dame. If you were an underbacker there, we'll find out if that translates to Alabama, which what we think should be a relatively easy win, favored by 45 over Southern Miss. Look, a lot of interesting games going on right now. Clemson, NC State right now still knotted up at 7. Almost midway through the second quarter. We'll keep a watchful eye on that. And again, Matt Hayes at the top of the hour talking potential Heisman trophies. If you want to try to get some better odds, we'll still give you those numbers when you come back with us. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100 Register using the code DECENT100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on any college football game, and either team simply scores a touchdown. No matter what your gridiron game is, BetMGM is always ready for all the action. Enjoy parlay selected boot builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the code DECENT100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any college football game, and either team simply scores a touchdown. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds here, betting across America. And right now, let's talk about some Big Ten football. One team struggling, the other team, Michigan, not struggling so far against Rutgers. Up 14-3 and looking for more, and I believe they just got it incomplete. But right now they're up 11 and looking for more. But Iowa, you mentioned this, that they might struggle a little bit with that big number against Colorado State, and so far they are struggling.
Yeah, they are. And Colorado State, by the way, looks like they have first and 10 on the 11-yard line of Iowa. It is 7-0, about 5 minutes left to go. The in-play wagering got suspended momentarily. Iowa, though, still 15.5 on the in-play, 34.5, so let me check. Yeah, it is Colorado State. They are in Iowa territory here, 5:03 left to go. So, look, Iowa, the offense has been pedestrian. Defense is very good, but Colorado State hanging in there once again, and it's 7-0. By the way, Michigan does have to settle for three, and they get it 17-3, 4:03 left to go in the first quarter, in the first half, rather. A couple other Big Ten teams in action. Illinois-Purdue, not much scoring here, just two field goals from Purdue, 6-0. Illinois does have the ball back. Illinois has, I believe, 19 yards of total offense here. 6 minutes left to go in the first half. So Purdue-Illinois, I thought that number was a little high on Illinois. Didn't end up taking it because I wasn't really confident. David Bell, by the way, was ruled out, their star receiver for Purdue, so that's why you saw a little buyback on Illinois. And so far, Maryland not showing any signs of a hangover or look ahead. 21-6 over Kent State very early on in the second quarter. 10:29 left to go, but Kent State is driving in Maryland.
Only one Tagovailoa right now in action. We know Tua in the NFL is going to be out on the IR.
Yep.
But younger brother there, Talia, looking pretty darn good for Maryland right now as they're trying to get another win. Let's stay in the Big Ten here and talk about Michigan State laying 5 against the Big Red Machine here in Nebraska, and I say that tongue-in-cheek a little bit because they really haven't been much of a machine, Big Red, with Nebraska, but they did play hard last week, and Scott Frost has been a punchline here. They go into East Lansing today. What do you make of that number? That number all the way down to 3.5, so Nebraska getting a lot of money before this kick.
Yeah, I was going to say they were laying 5, and I'm hoping that underdog isn't getting too much popular because I am on it, and I took 5 because I just thought that number, look, Michigan State goes down there and kicks the you-know-what out of Miami, plus 4 in the turnover margin. You kind of thought, okay, this Michigan State team, now this is a big step up. You got a Northwestern team that's a little down on personnel. Then you beat Youngstown State. It's like, okay, what's your real identity here? Right. And they only had, I believe, about a 14-yard edge, but it was 38-17 blowout because of the turnover margin and because Miami couldn't run the ball. Michigan State outscored Miami 21-3. In the fourth quarter, and they looked like the fitter, fresher team. The field temperature is like 100 degrees, so you thought, oh, God, these guys from up north, from East Lansing, they're going to melt in this heat, and it didn't necessarily happen. So you look, Michigan State, obviously, it's like, okay, they might be a surprise here. They're for real. Mel Tucker finally got a recruiting class, but this number was in that dead zone of 5, and I thought this is a really weird number because I feel like Nebraska, people have kind of just looked at that game against Illinois, where they got beat, and they were like touchdown road favorites, and they forgot about everything they did since. They've covered now 3 straight games, and they were right in the game with Oklahoma. I don't think it was fluky that they were there. They did some things right, just didn't have enough there at the end. So this is why I went against Michigan State, because now all of a sudden you have expectations, and you're a team with the brand new head coach, Mel Tucker, not totally brand new, because it's the second year, but still trying to build a culture there. And how do you deal with expectations? You go down and you beat the Miami Hurricanes, not the vintage U by any stretch, but still, it's Miami, and you went down and handled their business on the road. So you look at this and it's like, okay, does Michigan State now think that they're good? Do they have that sense of urgency? It's like, hey guys, we're making progress. We're really building here. Or do they think, yeah, we're really, really good and maybe, you know, ahead of our skis, so to speak here. So I like Nebraska plus five. I think that, you know, Scott Frost being on the hot seat and being on the punchline, you kind of see it a little bit in the betting market, but you are seeing Nebraska, I think, get some support here. I think maybe they're a little bit of the better team here because they're at least more experienced. They have a veteran quarterback in Martinez, although I think Peyton Thorne for Michigan State is going to be a good one in the Big Ten. He's going to be one of the better ones over the next couple of years in this conference. But I took Nebraska. That line just was fishy to me. I was like, okay, why aren't they laying seven right here? If everybody's so down on Nebraska and they're the big punchline here, I like the Cornhuskers here. You know, it was, you know, it's a little bit reluctant because it's like, can I really back Nebraska? But you know, I always say you go where the stink is sometimes, and I'm going to go with it with the Cornhuskers.
You mentioned very quickly Colorado State. They did get that touchdown 7-6 right now. Iowa in the Big Ten holding on by a point. Some other surprises. Baylor right now in the Big 12 up 21-10 on Iowa State. And again, right now still 17-0. Arkansas sitting all over Texas A&M. So some surprising. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, Kansas winning at Duke right now.
Yeah, we've got a couple of these. And by the way, that adjusted line in the Iowa game, Iowa now minus 11.5. 37.5 total here. 7-7. 4 minutes left to go. Yeah, in the first half at Kinnick Stadium. A couple other teams said Auburn maybe could be a little sleepy because of that game against Penn State. Georgia State, by the way, 10-6.
Whoa.
Early second quarter. Auburn now minus 15.5. 57.5 your total.
I don't know that Ohio State's in a sleepy spot against the Zips today of Akron, but they do have a backup quarterback going today, Wes. So again, before kick here, when you look at the numbers, you got to lay with the big boys, with the Alabamas and the Ohio States, and you do have a backup quarterback. We talked about it maybe with A&M having a backup and how you got to think about those things before you just blindly lay numbers with the better team. 48.5
mm-hmm.
at home in the shoe against Akron. What do you make of that number?
God, I think you could only lay the first half here if you're Ohio State because this is a big number a defense that actually is struggling. By the way, Ohio State has given up 29 points a game and 471 yards on the season. This is not a very good defense. Gary Coombs has not figured it out in Columbus in terms of what to do. They won 41-20. That looks like a comfortable win over Tulsa last week, but they only out-yardaged Tulsa by 7 yards, 508-501. Two TDs in the final 307 to kind of pull away and give them some clearance. But you look at Akron. They lost 60-10 at Auburn this year down at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Also, but their quarterback, they have a new quarterback, DJ Irons, who has now taken over that starting job. 19-23 for 296, three touchdowns, no picks. Ran for 136 and a TD, although it was against FCS Bryant. So don't really go to the well with those numbers or necessarily go to the window, but I could see Ohio State first half. It's kind of maybe one of those things. How nice is Ryan Day going to be? And we know his predecessor, Mr. Meyer, wasn't always
nice
in these scenarios when you're thinking, oh, Urban, you know, he's not going to roll it up on Toledo or on Bowling Green or Miami, Ohio, and then it's 72-0 before you look at it. So 30.5 right now, 31 at BetMGM. If I'm going to play, which I'm likely not, I would be laying the first half on this.
And again, to your point about that, with that loss to Oregon early, mm-hmm. at some point, style points, they always say it doesn't matter. It matters.
Yeah.
So they're going to look at they might not look at the team. They'll go, oh, they beat somebody 72-0. That's why potentially, even when you look at a huge spread like 48.5,
mm-hmm.
kind of with you, the only way to possibly play this is Ohio State first half. It feels like they're going to come out, jump on them early, and try to rest the rest of the way. But look, when you lose early at home, and you're trying to get in as a one-loss team to the college football playoff, you got to start running it up
before
on guys.
Before you get in on this game, too, check the injury report because this might be outdated information, but I saw a lot of guys questionable, undisclosed, so that makes you think, okay, maybe there's some COVID issues in Columbus. I don't want to say that without knowing that for a fact.
That's what undisclosed normally relates to.
That's why I'm staying out of this because I'm worried all of a sudden, you know, about an hour before game time, it's going to be like, okay, there's about 15 dudes that aren't going to play. And a lot of them could be starters, you know, that might not be skill position guys, but offensive line starters, defensive line starters, secondary starters being out absolutely matters. So this is an absolute leave it alone for me.
Yeah, I feel that same way. About 30 seconds to go here, Wes, before we take a very quick break. But quickly on Clemson, 7-all, 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, just get the ball back against NC State. When do you start sweating it out if you laid the 10.5 with Clemson?
Right about now, because I'm not liking what I'm seeing here. They have 80 yards of total offense, and they cannot run the
ball.
Yeah, Clemson, I thought that this was kind of the low spot. And look, they could still maybe pull away here in the second half because I think this defense is absolutely playing very well. But you may need their defense to score to get ahead of the number. 7-7, 5 minutes left to go in the second quarter.
When we come back, we love talking with our guy Matt Hayes, all things college football, including maybe some Heisman watch as well. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.